leadership for the delegation from the National Coalition for Palestine, and also indicate that there will be other members joining the Committee on the International Relations and Cooperation Portfolio Committee, because the memorandum that you submitted to Parliament also affects other committees, like your energy, like your trade and industry, like your defense, etc., etc., in terms of the issues that you have raised there. So we thought that we will listen to your presentation as a multi-committee or, yeah, multi-committee of Parliament. And secondly, before we deal with introductions, I just want to indicate that we must apologize as Parliament to the coalition for the delay in engaging yourself and in making a response, because the march took place in August 2014, August, if I remember well, and the petition was received on behalf of Parliament. It was directed to the Honourable Speaker, but it was received by Inkosi Mandela. And I think there was a bit of a confusion in Parliament about which committee was supposed to deal with this particular petition, which affected many other committees, but not just committees of Parliament. There are things that you are raising there that you're saying must happen or must not happen, which can only be done at the level of government. So you have issues for government, you have issues for Parliament. I think with your nudging, the Speaker has since then written a letter to me to instruct me to coordinate all the affected committees. Only then I had better authority to invite the other committees to look at your petition. But I still want to say that it was a bit ugly for Parliament to have made a delay like this, because ours is a participatory democracy where different stakeholders must be involved and must be able to make their voices heard. Whether we agree with those voices or not, they must make themselves heard in Parliament. And with that, therefore, you have the members here, and I'm going to request the members to introduce themselves, to indicate the committees they belong to, and to indicate perhaps the parties they belong to. We are co-chairs here. My name is Sipho Sezwe, the surname is Masango. I'm the chairperson or chairman of the Portfolio Committee on International Relations. And I have here with me our very seasoned and old leader and old member of this parliament. If I'm not mistaken, she started here in 1994. Perhaps you can speak for yourself.
Thank you, Chairperson. I began in Gauteng in 1994 and came here in 2004. But it's very kind of the Chair to invite me to co-chair. I do chair trade and industry now, and my name is Joan Phapps. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Phapps. I want to invite members to then introduce themselves, and we'll start with those who are red. Honorable Paulson, who are you?
Thank you, and good morning, Chair. My name is Nazir Paulson. I'm not a member of this committee, but I'm sitting in because this is a matter that is very near and dear to me. Thank you very much.
My name is Nick Kornoff. I'm a member of Trade and Industry, but therefore I'm also a member here.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sherilyn Dudley, I'm a member of Parliament for the last almost 18 years, and I'm with the African Christian Democratic Party.
My name is Luiso Mpumlwana, member of the International Relations and a member of the African National Congress. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Sandy Kalyan. I've been a member of Parliament since 1999. And I am with the Democratic Alliance.
Good morning, my name is Stevens Mukhalapa, member of the Committee on International Relations and member of the DA.
My name is Darren Bergman, I'm a member of Parliament for the Democratic Alliance.
Dean McPherson, with the Democratic Alliance, and I serve in DTI under the Honourable Chairmanship of Joan Marie Phipps.
Good morning, my name is Dineo Raputi. I'm the member of the African... I'm the member of the African National Congress and also the member of this committee, International Relations. Thank you.
I'm Peggy Khatebe, the member of the Portfolio Committee on International Relations. I'm from the African National Congress.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Eddie Makuwe. I'm the Chairperson of the Select Committee on Trade and International Relations. And thank you very much for having me here. I'm a member of the African National Congress serving in the NCOP.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. So my apologies, still wrapping up issues in the Committee of Mineral Resources. I am Nkosi Zwelivelile Mandlisizwe Mandela, a deployee of the African National Congress, serving in the Portfolio Committee of Mineral Resources as the whip. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Reverend Arison.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the invitation to be here this morning. My name is Reverend Edwin Arison. I am the Chairperson of the National Coalition for Palestine. Let me just briefly say that thank you for the apology, and I think as a priest I can actually absolve you, you know, for 2 years of sinning.
Good morning. My name is Abdul Khaliq Ibrahim Ali. I serve as the first Deputy President of the Muslim Judicial Council. Thank you.
Mohamed Desai, a member of the Young Communist League and the National Coordinator of BDS South Africa.
Good morning, I'm Rena King. I'm a member of the South African Jews for a Free Palestine.
Good morning, honourable members. My name is Bram Hanakom. I'm with the ANC Youth League and BDS.
Good morning, G. My name is Yunus Ali. I'm from the Alkoch Foundation, South Africa.
Good morning. My name is Jeremy Phillips. I'm the chairperson of the Palestine Solidarity Forum at the University of Cape Town.
Kenya.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Tandwe Kenya, member of the International Relations and Cooperation Committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, we indicated
from the ANC.
Yes, we indicated that other members will join us shortly. They will be coming from their committees because we are meeting you in terms of Rule 344 regarding petitions. Thank you very much. The rest of our colleagues there are actually the staff that work with us in this committee and other committees. Now, with that, I want to defer to Reverend Arison so that you can make a presentation on behalf of the delegation, and you can select some of the members that can fill us in if there will be some issues that you want to bring to the attention of these honorable members, two more or so, and then we'll then go for discussions. Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you, members of the committees who are present here. I want to say on behalf of all of us who are here, thank you for this invitation to address you on the matter of this petition that we handed here to you on the 9th of August 2014. And thank you to Nkosi Mandela for receiving it on behalf of Parliament on that particular day. Chairperson, I want to start with a march and just to say that on the day of the march, we were planning for a march of 100,000 people. That was our planning. And on the day when it happened, there were some media reports that talked about 200,000 people who arrived for the march. It was probably the biggest march in democratic South Africa that has happened so far. And not only the biggest, but I think also probably the most peaceful march. After the march, I walked back to the cathedral here, and it was just great to see the spirit of the people in the streets here. And there was absolutely nothing that I could be ashamed of on that day in terms of the conduct of the marches. It was really a model for how I think marches should happen in this country. And something I wasn't aware of, but I was made aware of this afterwards, was that on the truck, those of us who were on the truck in front, there was a TV camera from ITV. And this television station was actually beaming directly from the march into Gaza, into a hospital in Gaza, in fact. And I only became aware of this because Dr. Mads Gilbert from Norway was working in that hospital on the day. And Dr. Gilbert was saying to us how when they were in this hospital, it was of course not a good sight to be in. There was so much blood and so much despair in that room. Someone turned on the television screen and they saw Archbishop Emeritus Tutu speaking at this march. He said the level of despair quickly faded and the level of hope was rising in that room as the march happened here in Cape Town. So we feel very good about that, even if though it's a very short-term outcome, we feel good about the fact that that kind of solidarity from people at the southernmost point of Africa can actually generate that kind of hope in the midst of despair, which Gaza is and, of course, was at that particular time. So we then handed over the petition, and we've had various conversations with people, but we are really happy that today we are able to present this formally to you. Sadly, the situation has become worse, and so perhaps the 2-year gap has allowed us to actually think about or carefully about what is happening there and how this parliament, representatives of the people of South Africa, can respond to the situation there. The National Coalition for Palestine, whom we represent here today, we are a coalition of 35 organizations in South Africa. It's ranging from political trade union groups and of course several NGOs and Christian, Muslim and Jewish organizations all forming part of this national coalition. And so it is, I sometimes say to people, it's sometimes for me a better representation of South Africa to be in meetings of the NC4P than even going to church, where sometimes church can be very tribal in a way. But the National Coalition for Palestine, the whole diversity of South Africa is represented there. And so I'm really proud to be part of this, of such a coalition in South Africa. I think we must understand, and I think most of you probably know this, that South Africa is seen by the people of Palestine as a place of hope. South Africa is seen by the people of Palestine as a place where there was a conflict, it was resolved, and we are able to move forward. With all our challenges that we have, we are able to move forward as a united nation. Sometimes we use these words. I sometimes say we're not simply in solidarity with the people of Palestine. We are united with them. When they suffer, we suffer. And Nkosi Mandela's grandfather, of course, the intuition he expressed when he said that South Africans will never be free until Palestine is free. That was a very deep intuition, and I think we can only thank the Mandela family for that particular intuition, guiding us, giving us the kind of vision to move forward on the question of the suffering people of Palestine. And so I'm going to ask several of our delegation members here to speak here on parts of the petition. It is a petition that, of course, is 2 years old. And so some of the things that are in there are not as immediate as you know, as we hope it will be. The historical moment that we are in, Chairperson and members of the committee, is very important to note here today. Next week we will celebrate, I think it's called the UN International Day for Palestine, and we are hoping that Parliament can make some kind of statement on that particular day, when we celebrate this day. But more than that, next year, 2017, is actually the centenary of the Balfour Declaration. Mohammed and others can say...
What date is that of the United Nations?
Next week, the 29th of November. 29th of November is the UN International Day for Solidarity with the People of Palestine. I think it has been celebrated in this parliament before, and we hope it can become an annual commemoration, celebration, and solidarity day with the people of Palestine. But what is also, of course, for us important is that next year, 2017, is the centenary of the Balfour Declaration. If you need more information about that, we can certainly provide you with that. But it's 100 years since, the British gave the Zionists, particularly in the UK, the assurance that a state will be established, a Jewish state will be established there on Palestinian land, under the narrative of a land without people for a people without land, which of course was not true. There were people there. And so over the last 100 years, things have just significantly worsened there, so much so that the dignity of Palestinian people throughout the world has been impeded quite significantly. I'm happy to say that Pope Francis has declared two Palestinians as saints in the last 2 years, The Vatican has also signed an agreement with the State of Palestine. So there's significant movement happening across the world. And so those of us, I often get asked, people often ask me, you know, is there any solution? Do you have any hope? And I take my cue from those people I speak to in Palestine. And for us, certainly, there's always hope. We cannot move forward on this particular matter without the notion of hope. And we as South Africans, if there is something exceptional about us, it must be this, that it is that we were able to overcome a system that many people thought was impossible to overcome. We were able to overcome it. Many people in other parts of the world were quite hopeless about the situation here. But we collectively were able to overcome a system that was called the Crime Against Humanity. We were able to overcome it, and those of us who were inside the country, who were part of the nonviolent movement inside the country, we can talk about that. We were able to overcome it with calling for boycotts, divestment, and sanctions on the regime, the apartheid regime at the time. We were able to overcome apartheid. Bishop Tutu, Frank Chikane, Alan Busack, Dr. Bayes Nodier, so many of the church people I can quote here today, they went over to our friends in the international community and they said, please, we don't want a situation that's just going to become worse, where people are going to violently kill one another. We don't want that. So what are the options? And so the only options that were left was to try to have non-violent methods, including internal marches and those kind of things, and organizing here. But from the international community, a strong stand to ensure that there are economic sanctions. I actually addressed a group in Germany recently, and the German church women were saying to me, they said, you know, we stood with you during particularly the 70s and the 80s, and when we saw certain products of South African products on the shelves in Germany, we, the women, and I'm talking about the women of Germany now, church women of Germany, we protested there in that shop about this particular item that was there. We sometimes took tomato paste or sauce and put it over the apples, South African apples, to make the point quite strongly that they will not collude in the suffering of black people, in particular in this country. And those of us who now sit here today, we feel very strongly that South Africans must give a strong message of solidarity to the people of Palestine. In the same way that they supported us, that we also support them in their struggle, so that enough pressure can be exerted so that eventually they sit down and there's a just peace resolution. Not the kind of peace that's happening at the moment, and I think you all know this. There's been a false peace process. We have no respect for the current peace process. It's a false peace. And it's a peace process that while it happens, more and more land gets stolen, more and more settlements get built, and it's the kind of peace process that only satisfies the oppressor. That's the kind of false peace process. The only process that I think the people of Palestine will be happy with, that we will be happy with, would be what we call a just peace process, so that justice becomes part, and justice is part of our morality in this country, so that justice becomes part of what happens there to our people in Palestine. So let me stop there for the moment, and I'm going to ask Mohammed to just share some things arising from the petition that we've handed to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Father Harrison.
Thank you, Reverend. To the committee, thanks for having us. Before we jump into the petition, as you would have seen in the petition, there is a preamble and there are certain things that we are noting. One of the reasons why we mobilized over 200,000 people, the largest protest that this country has seen since the dawn of democracy, was because of the savage attacks, of course, that we all, I think, across political party line can agree were absolutely horrific. We're talking about over 2,500 Palestinians being killed in a period of less than 2 months. In less than 6 weeks, over 551 children, that's the entire of parliament, 551 children were killed. That's one child every 2 hours that was wiped off the face of this earth during those 6 weeks. Oh, Kasia.
Apologies. Just hold on a minute while it lowers itself.
Mossad is operating at all levels.
Won't be long. Right, do go ahead.
These attacks on Gaza, on the Palestinian people, mobilized society across religious, across ethnic, and across racial lines. We had come out united in our position that firstly, the savagery, which we all can agree on, 551 children, I think that this entire portfolio committee can agree on, the killing of those 551 children by the Israeli government, we can all agree, was unacceptable. But we also come to you in the spirit of finding a way forward between civil society and parliament. We are saying, how can we support each other in lending support to the Palestinian people? And our inputs today are really using international law as a cornerstone. And whilst a two-state solution is being advanced at an international level, our position to you today is how do we address the human rights violations and the violations of international law. The first that we are urging this portfolio committee to do with utter urgency is to embark, because of the two-year delay, to embark on an urgent fact-finding mission to the Palestinian Gaza Strip. This is the first that we are asking the Portfolio Committee, because of the two-year delay, to embark on an urgent fact-finding mission to the Gaza Strip. The second is, President Mandela, of course, declared that our freedom as South Africans, and this again, I mean, Mandela is somebody that we can revolve around beyond our political party backgrounds. Mandela said, our freedom is incomplete without the freedom of the Palestinian people. What is little less known is that he said this 19 years ago on the 29th of November during a speech commemorating the United Nations International Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian people. This day having been declared by the UN for all governments across the world, for all parliaments across the world, for all peace and justice-loving peoples across the world to remember the Palestinian struggle, to mark the Palestinian struggle, and to lend support to the Palestinian struggle on this day. And so the second request, in line with our petition that was submitted, point number one, is that we are calling on Parliament to not only have a debate on the Palestinian issue during this year's United Nations International Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian people, but for this to become an annual event. Annually, on the UN International Day of Solidarity, which happens on the 29th of November, to have a debate on the issue of the Palestinian question and using our former president's words as a spirit which should guide our discussions. When it comes to the terminating of diplomatic relations, when it comes to point number 1.3, enacting of legislation to impose comprehensive economic sanctions, and point number 1.6, draft regulation to exclude South African corporations from doing business with companies that are involved or complicit in human rights abuses, points number 1.2, 1.3, and 1.6 are dealing generally with the issue of sanctions. Now, in the last 10 years, since the time that the Palestinians themselves issued the call for boycott, divestment, and sanctions to be applied against Israel, there's been major and significant victories. The Dutch pension fund, Swedish pension fund, Norwegian pension, the Norwegian state pension fund have all divested from Israel. The Methodist Church, Presbyterian Church, United Church of Christ have all ended relations with Israeli companies. Bill Gates, one of the richest people on this earth, took out 2 billion rands worth of stock from a security company because of that company's involvement in the occupied Palestinian territories. That company being G4S. Various local municipalities across Spain and Europe more generally have adopted BDS as the cornerstone of their local municipal arrangements. Over 13 European Union governments, have issued warnings against doing business with companies that are involved in the occupied Palestinian territories and the illegal Israeli settlements. The United Nations last year released a report documenting how Israel has lost over 46% in foreign direct investment as a direct result of the international boycott that the regime is currently facing. The point that we are trying to make, the point that we are advancing to you, is that the boycotts that are currently facing the Israeli regime is in some ways external pressure to edge on what the Reverend had referred to as a just solution and negotiation and dialogue. Boycotts doesn't mean, just as how boycotts against apartheid South Africa didn't mean that there's an opposition to negotiation, but it's about creating the necessary conditions for a just peace to be negotiated. And that is what we are asking South Africa, that whilst there are various processes of dialogue and negotiation taking place, that at the same time Israel needs to be told in no uncertain terms that its violations of human rights and its violations of international law won't be acceptable. And we are putting it to Parliament that under this point of 1.2, 1.3 and 1.6, whilst the BDS campaign is being advanced at an international and global level by corporations, churches and civil society, we are asking Parliament in the very least to immediately embark on legislation around the boycott of Israeli settlements. That's where we are asking you to start off with. Settlements are agreed across political party background, are agreed to be in violation of international law. South African government considers the settlements in violation of international law. The EU recognizes the settlements as in violation of international law. The USA recognizes the settlements as violation of international law. We are asking for legislation to be introduced banning interacting with companies that are involved in the occupied Palestinian territories and specifically in the illegal Israeli settlements. And members of Parliament, we went to the highest court on earth in 1971. I may get my exact dates wrong, but we went to the highest court on earth regarding apartheid South Africa's occupation of Namibia. And the International Court of Justice ruled that the occupation of Namibia, just like the occupation of Palestine, is in violation of international law. The ICJ in the 1970s already had clarified that no member state must enter into any trade agreements and, open quotation marks, must abstain from entering into economic and other illegal and other forms of relationships with South Africa in reference to its illegal occupation of Namibia. There is precedent for a boycott of the settlements. We, with the churches, with our comrades from the Jewish community and others, will advance the larger boycott, divestment and sanctions campaign, but we are asking in the very least that South Africa imposes a boycott on the settlements in simply to be in line with international law. It's not a political request. We are making, on the one hand, a legal argument, and on the other hand, a moral argument to you. Related to that, under the issue of sanctions, We are asking the South African Parliament to follow and to catch up. It's kind of embarrassing, actually. We celebrate Mandela's spirit of solidarity, but it's embarrassing that over 13 European Union parliaments have already issued warnings against doing business with companies involved in the settlements. So we are asking as an immediate step, whilst legislation is being drafted regarding boycott of settlements or banning of interaction with settlements, that an immediate advisory be issued, just as how over 13 European parliaments have issued warnings against doing business inside the settlements. Point number 1.4 deals, or 1.5 rather, deals with the with South Africans serving in the Israeli Defense Force. We are asking Parliament to conduct its oversight responsibilities in reference to Section 4 and Section 5 of the Regulation of Foreign Military Assistance Act. Any South African citizen wanting to participate in another army is obligated to first seek the permission from the National Conventional Arms Control Committee. We are asking Parliament to investigate as to whether any South African has actually applied to serve in the Israeli Defense Forces. And if a South African has not gained the necessary permission for them to be taken to task, for them to be prosecuted for serving in a foreign military. This, again, is not necessarily a political argument we're making to you, but simply our own legislation to be followed. Finally, before I hand over to South African Jews for a Free Palestine for their input, the one issue that we will admit is not within the petition, but has been something that has increased in the last few months, is that South African church activists, from the Christian community in particular, that are associated with the World Council of Churches, are being denied entry into Palestine by the Israeli government. Israel seems to only allow those Christians and those people that it deems acceptable. Those that are wanting to visit the holy town of Bethlehem or of Jerusalem, which fall within the Palestinian territories, are being denied entry. In this year alone, Itani Rasalanabo, Daniel Kemp, Kolikani Magwaza, Rosali Mbele, Sarah Robinson, and last year Marty Momberg, all associated with South African church work, have been denied entry into the occupied Palestinian territories. South Africa needs to investigate through the necessary diplomatic channels as to why Israel is denying entry to our church activists. The final point is that the Israeli government, and we're really appealing now to members of parliament to protect South African citizens. The Israeli government has indicated that it is going to embark on a program, and I quote the Israeli Minister of Intelligence, who said earlier this year, is going to embark on a program of targeted civil assassinations against activists involved in the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, a non-violent international campaign that was actually birthed out of our own South African experience. The Israeli Ministry of Intelligence has also indicated that it will be communicating with other intelligence bodies and other intelligence ministers across the world to clamp down on the non-violent human rights campaign of BDS. We are asking for Parliament to communicate a very clear message that the Israeli intelligence services can't and will not interfere with South African activists. And so those are the issues that we would really like this discussion. And we'd like to really find a meeting of minds from civil society and from members of parliament. The asks that we are putting to you are not as radical as what we'd put to the churches, who are far more advanced in terms of ending relations, embarking on solidarity programs. We are putting to you very doable, very feasible programs, And we really hope that the starting point can be next week Tuesday during the UN International Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian people. Thank you very much, Rina.
Thank you very much. And then it's the South African Jews for a Free Palestine. Your name, please.
Thank you. My name is Rina King. And I'd like to address the issue that Mohammed raised around the conscription at the moment there's a village, a Bedouin village called Al-Harim Hiram, which has been threatened with demolition to make way for a Jewish settlement called Hiran. And people are busy packing up their houses, and they've already been issued an invoice for the demolition of this village. Now, there could be South African Jews there involved in the demolition of this village. South African Jews at border posts stopping people from going from their houses onto their fields, from going to hospitals, obstructing people's lives. And I submit to you that really to be quiet on this and to not take this up is really a consent and an agreement with these people that we do not have any sanction against them and we allow this to happen. So I implore that something is being done, that should be done, and Parliament should oversee that it's done around these people who are going to destroy other people's lives and move them and in another army far away. And in that army there are people who are conscientious objectors as well. So our colleagues, at the moment there are two, particularly Omri and Tahir, who are imprisoned and continuously being imprisoned because they are conscientious objectors. They will not stand for the vagaries of the defense force, the Israeli defense force. And we really ask that Parliament raises this and supports these people who on their conscience are not doing the whim of the Israeli defense force. Thank you
very much. Do we have someone else?
Mulana Abdul Khalik Ali will say a few words to Chairperson.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair Lady. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Almighty, the most merciful, the most gracious, I wish to reiterate what our Chairperson has said, to thank your honorable selves and the parliamentarians for this wonderful opportunity. And for a moment as I'm seated here, I'm trying to reflect back ourselves as a group of South Africans presenting the case of South Africans to a court that sits in front of us speaking on behalf of the oppressed masses of South Africans whose land has been stolen, whose rights has been violated, whose dignity had been removed. And as a South African then, I present the case of South Africans to your honorable selves as parliamentarians. The expectation from us is that you would respond to our cry. And therefore today, as the National Coalition for Palestine, a broad coalition, one of the largest, one that we have aspired for as
activists for freedom for all Palestinians. Palestinians who are Christians, Palestinians who are Jews, Palestinians who are Muslims. Palestine belong to Palestinians, irrespective of their denomination. Today, we call upon your honorable selves as South Africans from all denominations, from all faiths, from all racial backgrounds, calling upon your conscience to say this particular petition has been presented to yourselves on behalf of an occupied people. The greatest crime, Your Excellencies, is occupation. It's a crime against humanity. Today we represent the Palestinians as South Africans, for we know what the apartheid did to us. We know and have an understanding that the only people globally who could probably be raising a conscious voice for the liberation of the Palestinians would be South Africans to lead that particular conscious voice for their freedom, for justice, for peace. We call upon Parliament to acknowledge the contribution that the BDS member has made here. In 2011, I had the privilege as a member of the Muslim Judicial Council as the Secretary General under the leadership of the former President of the Muslim Judicial Council, Maulana Ihsan Hendricks, to have traveled to Gaza. I witnessed with my own eyes demolition. I witnessed and saw how structures and hospitals had been bombarded. I visited the homes with the Prime Minister Ismail Haniya. I visited the homes of those who were killed. I shared the sentiments. I shared the sentiments of family members who have lost children. It is not an irony. The massacre on Gaza is one that has targeted deliberately innocent children. The fact speaks. Innocent children have been killed. And whenever there has been a bombardment, it's not a war, by the way. The killing of innocent Palestinians, then majority of them had been children. The statistics is in this particular petition. And therefore, Your Excellency, Mr. Chairman, and the Chair Lady, we are calling upon your conscience. When you have taken this responsibility as the PC on this particular matter, to state the facts as it is, and nothing less than the facts. But what will drive us to that is our own conscience of justice, our own conscience for a better place for all Palestinians, irrespective, be they Jewish, Christians, or Muslims. It's the fundamental issue is a human rights violation that we witness here. And we, therefore, on behalf of the NC4P, would want to thank you for this wonderful opportunity. In conclusion, Gaza is the largest open-air prison. And in the words of the former president of this particular country, at one occasion he said that what I've witnessed in Palestine is perhaps worse than what we have South Africans has experienced during the apartheid era, I think.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ali. Thank you. Thank you to all of you, but I'm sure there's someone else to say, Father Harrison.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chairperson, this is the province of the Western Cape. 200,000 people marched for the Palestinian cause. Their families, their homes, their friends, and the communities in which they live understood that they took a principled stance and took up their time, many hours, to march for the people of Palestine.
I think it's time that political parties make very clear their position. Here in the Western Cape, there are ruling parties, nationally they're ruling parties, and so we're concerned that Herman Mashaba, a new mayor of the Democratic Alliance, who got into power based on the support of a coalition between the EFF.
Do we have a technician up here? No.
That happens when you talk rubbish.
One moment.
Chairperson?
Honorable Mandela?
It seems that...
Chairperson, the mics are working on this side. This side of the house, the mics are working.
On your if that is mine is working as well, I'm sure yours is.
Chairperson. Mr. Anekom was on the floor. There was this challenge of the mics. But I think Honorable Paulson must withdraw the word rubbish, because all the members here are going to find their chance to say their say, to disagree, to ask clarification questions, etc. But for him to make an interjection in our meeting and say rubbish when other people are talking, it's not going to be allowed. Otherwise, I'll have to eject him from the meeting, and I'm not joking.
Okay.
So I'm giving a clear instruction to you. Withdraw this so that we can proceed with our meeting.
Chairperson, I withdraw the word rubbish for now. I will say rubbish later on then, but I withdraw.
Yes, when you are making your input.
No, I wouldn't like this to continue. What we would like, and I think the chair of international relations may agree, and that is, let us listen to the presentation. We may not agree at all, but we need to respect the right of those who are sitting here. And no, just a minute, Honorable MacPherson, just a minute. So what I'm going to say is, let's put our hands down and allow the speaker on my left. He may have to come across here if the mic is a problem. All right? Is your mic working? It would appear as if the left is not working. So I'm going to ask the committee secretary if he wouldn't mind addressing this technical problem we have. All right. No. Can you proceed then?
I think I'm allowed as a member of the committee to make a point of order, Madam Chair. As much as we would love to respect our guests, and that I also don't want, you know, that we should use unparliamentary language, our guests must also behave themselves. And if they're impugning the integrity of people who are holding office without substantiation, then I think that the chair should call the guest to order. The statement that Mr. Hanekom made impugned the integrity of the mayor, of the DA, Herman Mashaba, and also cast aspersions about the EFF. So I think you are presenting to us, stick to the petition And what you are here for, instead of getting emotional about other issues. I thank you.
I do hear you. I am going to take the whip of this particular committee. Debbie? Honourable Hadebi.
Thank you, Chair. When we are in the portfolio committee meeting or in the meeting of this nature, it is clear that we have to use the rules of parliament to deal with that. As we are using the rules of parliament, the issue of Mr. Herman Mashaba, Mashaba, he is not the member of parliament. So the rule which the honourable member is raising is irrelevant, in fact. But what I think for the decorum of the house is that our guests must be circumspect and when dealing with the issues. Yeah. But that rule does not apply to a member who, to a person who is not a member of this house. Thank you, Jim.
I like the way you, and I will hear that, Honourable Mandela, as a whip there, but I just want to make a point now, and that is, I do think this would be the right approach, that the presenters, those petitioners who are here, the whole group, do need to be more circumspect and to take cognizance. They really do. At the same time, can we avoid getting emotional on our side? Because if we're going to now have a replication of what happens in the house and this engagement breaking down through too many points of order, we won't make progress. Yes? No, I believe he is a whip. I take the whips.
Chair, on points of order, Chair, I just want to understand on what rule are you making this ruling that you're only going to take points of orders of whips? There is no such rule at all.
I'm not using a rule. No, I said... I would like the presenter to continue, but I also want him to be more circumspect in his choice of language.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I withdraw. I apologize if as civil society I came across as emotional, and I appreciate the maturity with which all the members responded to my input. Thank you. I particularly would like to apologize to the EFF. Thank you, Chair. What I had raised, Chairperson, was in relation to the political parties that that have mandates from their electorate and their structures. We are in a political structure here of portfolio members. As a member of civil society, I think it's important I express my view, and that is we are extremely concerned that some mayors in the country are trying to reverse international agreements, like, for example, the city of Johannesburg, which has a new mayor who is apparently reviewing the twinning agreement between the city of Ramallah and Johannesburg. And we appeal that all various political parties, and in fact, Chairperson, I must say I'm encouraged to see even the Democratic Alliance and other parties objecting to that, meaning I hope that they support the twinning agreement between Ramallah and Johannesburg. Maybe we should see it in a positive light as members of civil society. Thank you, Chair. Chair, just in closing, the committee has an opportunity here today to make clear their position, and we are really enthusiastic to hear the input after hours. Thank you, Chair.
I'd like to hear from Father Harrison if you have any other contributors.
No, thank you, Chairperson. For the moment, that's all we will present.
Can you try and put off the other mics? Right, you're not on mic. It would have to be captured. So whatever, it's gone off now. So try that.
Yeah, it doesn't work, Chairperson.
Testing, yeah.
Harrison, will you simply repeat what you said?
Thank you, Chairperson. We have no further contribution at this moment. We will be happy to listen to the members of the portfolio committees. Thank you.
Right. Now, what I would like to ask members of all portfolio committees here is just simply to raise your hands and we will recognize you. First hand up. Yes? Could you, I'm not familiar with everyone's name, could you just, I'll be recognizing yourself first. The second person I'm recognizing, just raise your hand, will be the Honourable MacPherson. Honourable McLaughlin. Makalapa. I didn't think you were Scottish, but anyway. Sorry about that, but you know, one never knows. Right. So, Honourable MacPherson, second. Yes. Honourable Bergman, third. Right, there was someone on my left, I mean on the left here in the front. No, there wasn't. The ACDP, right, that's Honourable Dudley. And then we'll take, we'll then take a second round with the ANC coming in, all right? Did you have your hand up, Honourable Paulson? Honourable Paulson.
So if you would go
straight ahead, and that is Honourable Mokgalapa.
Thank you very much, Co-Chair. That could have been a very strange and an odd Irishman. But thank you very much for the opportunity. Let me also thank our guest for coming. Thank you very much. I have listened very attentively what you were saying, because of I think and I believe that as a collective of civil society, religious and legislators, we should be coming together to find a common ground. And I think and I believe that if we put our heads together and leave the emotions aside, we are able to find a way. But that is the problem. We are not finding each other because of we put emotions in front of logic and reason. And that is the problem. And this problem is bigger than any one of us in this room. And we've got to be able to be circumspect in the borrowed words of the chairperson. And that is what I came here to do. Because of I believe that we are duty bound as legislators and members of parliament to listen to any member of South African community, because of we are your public reps. I have listened very attentively, and I would want to ask some few questions and go specifically to the comments made by each and every one of you. Reverend, you have spoken about two things. You've spoken about solution and hope, but you have focused more on hope. You didn't come with the solution part of it. You said that when you interacted with the people, you spoke about solution and hope. You dwelt on hope, but you didn't speak on solution. Can you come with the aspect of the solution? Because of I believe and I strongly believe that we should be focusing on the issue of how do we resolve in terms of solutions. And you've spoken about the just peace process. If you can elaborate on the issue of the just peace process that you have alluded to. Mohammed from the Young Communist Party, you have spoken about two issues. You've spoken about the two-state solution and the human rights issues. However, you've dwelt much on the human rights issue. You haven't come up to say what is the solution in terms of the two-state solution. You seem to get away. You said internationally everybody says two-state solution, but what about the human rights issue? You didn't dwell on that one. And one thing that I would agree with you, and that we must do as this committee, is an agent fact-finding mission. I agree with you wholeheartedly. If we had our way, if Parliament was functioning the way it should, I would say we would even fly out later this evening or tomorrow. But we all know that there are the practicalities of that. So I agree with you. Because of going out and seeing it for yourself, it's always a better option. You come better prepared, and you get to understand and appreciate the extent of the situation. So I agree with you on that one. So we got to look at the issue. I just want you to elaborate on the issue of the two-state solution, because of you haven't went much on that one. Okay, the Jews for Palestine. Okay, madam, I hear you about the settlement issue. Yes, definitely it's an issue that the international law and the international community should be dealing with. Yes, the Judicial Council as well. I think you are saying that let us find synergy, let us find common issues, and let us find common principles that we can agree upon that would ensure that we come to the resolution of this conflict. However, emotions and politicking and sideshows would not necessarily suffice. I would leave it at that. Mr. Anekom, I'm very much skeptical and hesitant to go to that level because of I would not want to degenerate this discussion to the political level, because of once we start wearing our political hats, we have already seen what happened. I can wear my political hat, there's no problem. But I would not want us to go there, because of I would want us to be able to respond on a mature level as South Africans who've got limited capacity and capability to be influential in this conflict.
Right.
Who must be seen to be neutral, who must be seen to be trying to get both sides of the equation to try and find common dialogue. And I would leave your comments as that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me pause for that.
Yes. It's unfortunate that I didn't actually warn members that we really don't want people to take 6 minutes. We need to at least leave it at 3 to 4 minutes, please. Thank you. Honourable MacPherson.
Thank you. I'll take four and try and stretch it if I can. Just a point of clarity from yourselves as the co-chairs. Are we as a committee able to consider those things that have been added in, not in writing, but vocally here today, if those have not actually formed part of the original petition and be signed for by the submitter? So I would just ask for your indulgence on that. I also just want to say that I'm deeply disappointed with the manner in which Mr. Hanekom has come here today, and not only in his trying politicizing of the issue, but also in the manner in which he's disrespected this committee. To be quite frank, to come to a committee in Parliament in tracksuits and slops is actually disrespectful, not only to Parliament, but to the members of this committee. And, they want us to take them seriously, but they don't want to take us seriously, and that's quite unfortunate. With respect to the issues of trade, which I'll try and limit myself to being in the committee, I've had the chance to travel to Palestine and to meet with representatives of the PLO and ask them the question on sanctions and disinvestment. And the senior official that I spoke to said that, economic sanctions for Israel is actually bad for Palestine, because they don't want to be cut off from trading with Israel. In fact, they do, I think it's about $10 billion a year worth of trade. So if the Palestinians don't want to impose sanctions or stop trading with Israel. How do we see that in a context of economic sanctions towards Israel? Because I think the big mistake that we could potentially make, and I'd like an answer from Mr. Desai on this because this is his speciality, is why would we want to remove ourselves from the table when the one ace that South Africa holds up its sleeve is the moral authority to bring parties together to discuss the issue of peace? If we portray a position of potential biasness, does that then not erode our moral authority to bring two countries together? And I actually think that South Africa is uniquely placed to do so because of the transition that we made from pre-1994 to a democratic South Africa. So I would just like some discussions and some thoughts around that particular issue. Thank you.
You actually took only three. There we are.
Thank you.
Honourable Bergman.
Thanks, Chair. I must say that I have been partially covered by both the previous speakers, but just to say that in the last meeting we had the pleasure of engaging not around a petition, it was around the Middle East issue. We asked about 20 minutes worth of questions and got 2 minutes worth of answers, and I'm just worried that a lot of our questions might be couched into, you know, a standard answer. And if I may, just that you allow us, if our questions haven't been answered, that you please just raise again a second bite of the cherry, so to speak. I would like to find out from the coalition whether they share the sentiment and the policy paper of Durko's position. And I think that appreciates, and you know, I think most parties in this room actually agree with Durko's position with regards to the Middle East. As my colleague has said, you know, if you look at the trade deficit, I think South Africa would be the losers if it came to any sanctions. And I think sanctions, boycotts, and divests are never the solution, especially with our diplomacy. Ours is a verbal diplomacy where we try and talk before we try anything specific, you know, anything more aggressive than that. But there's a case in point, and that's the SodaStream case. The Woolworths case, as far as I understand it, reading from the correct press and not the, no disrespect, not the BDS press, the Woolworths case did not work. But if it did not work in South Africa, and that's why it's actually been called off, the boycott there. But in terms of the SodaStream case, now this is a case that we should study as a committee, is what happened there with BDS. And BDS called for a sanctions and boycotts of SodaStream because it was in occupied territory. What we have understood from both sides of the fence, again, because of fact-finding missions that we've undertaken, is that SodaStream was forced to close their factory or to relocate their factory, which lost over 1,000 jobs, Palestinian jobs, so to speak. The 1,000 Palestinian jobs and the net average salary was 6,000 new Israeli shekels. No person that has found work from after SodaStream has been able to attain such a salary. And this is important to us in South Africa, is that we must investigate these cases to understand what it would mean for boycott, divest, and sanctions. Now, we speak about the withdrawal again, and we look at scenes in 2006, to which I was privy to watching on CNN and BBC and Sky News, was the Israeli withdrawal of Gaza. And when that took place, I mean, you saw scenes of the Israeli army moving Jewish settlers and Israeli settlers out of these occupied territories within Gaza. It was on the premise that there would be peace. It was on the premise that that would be the footprints to the Oslo Accord. And no sooner did that happen, 90 days later, it started raining rockets in Israel from that very part of Gaza. Now, I am all for peace. I fully support the Durko policy paper. There must be a two-state solution. In fact, some experts believe reliably that there should be a three-state solution. because I think one of the biggest challenges is the Palestinian Authority and the Hamas is trying to also get them onto the same page.
Right, you have 20 seconds.
Okay. I would just like to find out how we're going to rather advocate for peace and not talk about division and divisiveness, and how do we talk peace? How do we get all parties around a table in which we can actually talk peace? Because that's all I'm interested in. I'm interested in peace. I'm interested in that the Durko policy paper is delivered and that the Oslo Accord becomes the order of the day. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honourable Dudley.
Thank you. Yes, obviously my questions will be around similar things, but I wanted to look first at the diplomatic ties aspect of your petition. For South Africa to show an obvious bias does stop them being a bridge to peace and does push parties aside, so that would be a concern. Now, obviously, also that sort of policy that's stated within your document is kind of out of touch with African, Asian, Arab realities, where they believe that Israel does need to be secure to progress the cause of Palestine. So it's not secure for the sake of being secure, but it's secure for the sake of Palestine and Palestinians. And of course, most Arab Muslim countries in the heart of the Middle East, including Jordan, Egypt, Turkey, have full diplomatic ties. And the importance of diplomatic ties being the alternative to wars. Without diplomacy, we've got to have war. And surely we should be protecting this and strengthening diplomacy, particularly there where it's needed the most. Now, many countries are, of course, reestablishing ties, including a lot of African states, and South Africa also has to consider its position as an African state in terms of not alienating itself from where other people are standing. In terms of the trade and technology, the agriculture, the water technology that is available via Israel, have you worked out in any way how this disinvestment would actually benefit South Africa? Or let me put it more accurately, what will it actually cost South Africa in terms of getting down to the nitty-gritty of cutting off that trade, cutting off all that's being made available agriculturally in terms of the dire water needs that we have, etc. And my bit of time spent also in Palestine and those that come here, I also understand that they do not want sanctions on Israel because they do not feel that would benefit them. So that's an understanding that I'm getting. And of course, the Madiba quote is an important quote, but it stops short of what he was saying in terms of Israel being secure and wanting peaceful solutions. So there's more to that quote. And I think we mustn't stop short. We want what he wanted, but we want all of it. And so I would just appeal to us to look broader than where we're looking, because we really do want to find solutions. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Dudley. Honourable Paulson.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the presenters for giving us some background to the petition. I agree that there should be peace.
Sorry, Chair, just on a point of order, I'm sorry to disrupt the Honourable Member. If Mr. Honeycomb could not take pictures in this room, that is parliamentary.
Thank you.
Parliamentary behaviour.
Thank you, Honourable MacPherson. We were not aware because we were looking on this side. I'm sure that was not deliberately flouting our practices, but may I request that no photographs are taken. We're not here as journalists. Thank you. Yes, will you continue? Yes, just a minute.
No,
is this about the camera?
It's no. Linked, because I've actually come under a very heavy attack recently. Having come under a heavy attack recently, I just would like us to perhaps make it clear to our visitors as well that members of Parliament, if they come under any kind of heavy attack resulting from this meeting, that we do have some kind of recourse in terms of our chairs, etc. It is just a protection. Having seen the camera now, obviously, I'm reminded of the attack that came my way. Thank you.
Let us, sorry, Honourable Paulson, if I can just settle this quickly. So I think it's clearly understood
you are all here as the non, you know, as the coalition, okay, for the National Coalition for Palestine and others, and you've written a petition, it's signed, you've asked us to consider that petition. And while this is not a courtroom, there are certain practices that are observed here, and we would like you to respect those practices. Thank you very much. So, Honourable Paulson. And I thought we can now allow Honourable Paulson to continue. So if it's not about the camera, can I allow him to continue and then I'll take you, please? Is it about the camera?
The ruling is, if a person has taken any photos, they have to be deleted. That's the follow-up to your ruling.
I thought I was simply making a request, but let's try and establish my request as a ruling. And then, in terms of that, can you please delete them? I wouldn't like to engage in dialogue. Thank you. Thank you. Honourable, let's allow Honourable Paulson to continue.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And Bram, you don't have to delete any pics of mine. I don't have an issue with it. And I am willing to face any attack. I'm used to it. You don't become a commissar without having earned your stripes. Chairperson, and I agree that there should be peace in the Middle East, but I also believe that a precursor to peace is justice, and justice for the Palestinians in this case. And I appreciate the petition. I think it's very important. I think the Palestinian question is the moral question of our time. Where you stand when it comes to Palestine is an indication of your morality. And that said, I think very important would be that fact-finding mission to Palestine, because we've had several representations from other organizations, but we haven't heard from Palestinians. We had a group from a Palestinian group here, a civil society group, about a month or two ago, and the one question they couldn't answer me was, what do the Palestinians want? And I think that is very important, but I do believe there are certain things that we can do as South Africa to ease that path to determining what it is that Palestinians want, and I think that this is a very important one. The Foreign Services Bill has to be followed to the letter. South Africans shouldn't be allowed to go and participate in a war that we consider immoral. And that said, this government, or the ANC government, has an absolute majority. In fact, such a majority that when we try to repeal certain laws, that the ANC could actually vote against it, however unjust we thought those laws were. And here's another opportunity, and member and signatories to the NC4P is the Young Communist League, the ANC Youth League, the SACP are all signatories to the NC4P. You even had the chairperson of the ANC in the Western Cape at that particular march on the 9th of August 2014. I will not forget it. I was part of that march. My question is, here you have ANC-aligned organizations petitioning an ANC government. Do you know how easy it is for the ANC to actually implement this, to immediately impose sanctions on Israel, to immediately make sure that people who participate in the Israeli Defense Force are criminalized? It's very easy. It would take one sitting
And even if they didn't have the support of the EFF, they could actually implement this petition. Very easy. And here you have ANC allies petitioning an ANC government. I find it extremely ironic. No.
So unfortunately,
I'm
the Honourable Paulson has only had 2.5 minutes, so we're going to let him finish.
So my question is, do you really believe that this ANC government will act in the best interest of Palestinians? A major trade partner of apartheid Israel, and it is an apartheid state. We also have the MJC, and the MJC, who have the greatest regard for the representatives of the faith which I adhere to. We've also had their leaders being quite vocal for the support of the ANC. The very ANC that still refuses to impose sanctions, diplomatic and trade.
Right, you have 20 seconds.
My question is, as I said, do you really think that this ANC government would act in the interest of Palestinians?
I would just like to ask and get the clarification before we get, before the chair comes in, the Chair Masango, and that is, you referred to civil society, a group of Palestinians. Were you referring to Palestinians in, South Africans, the civil society in South Africa by some chance, or in Palestine itself, from Palestine?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, they were guests of the South African Jews for Free Palestine, and they were from Palestine, but they were living in Israel.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Just the clarification we were seeking there. We had said, for those who were not present at the time, that the ANC would come in after the first round. But if this is some other point of order, because the ANC will come in after this round has been responded to. But the Chair, Masango, would like to just address one or two issues before we get responses. Masango?
No, Chair. I think can we request to amend your decision that we allow a free flow of clarity-seeking questions and comments from people, you said they're members of the ANC. They continue in the way that the chair was continuing, because they too may ask clarifying questions and they may propose certain solutions. That's the first thing. But on the matter that the chair asked me to clarify was what Honorable McPherson raised earlier on, and then I thought I will provide clarity on that. And it is that, yes, when you have invited people who had submitted a memoranda, they can add issues that go together with what they have said in the memorandum, or they can provide further clarification, and one of which, for instance, was what was asked on where they stand on the two-state solution. And I have my own clarification question to them. And perhaps, by way of an example, I'll just put them in as if it was my time to put them. If the people of South Africa ask the coalition whether in doing what it is doing in terms of this memo, is it anti-Semitic?
because there's no way the coalition will escape that charge that it does this because it is anti-Semitic. Or what would it say when it says it speaks about the rights for the Palestinians, but it does not come clear about the statehood of Israel, you see? And I think some other members have already asked a question about that. And the last one is I think that one was clarified, the composition of the NC4P about different religious groupings, etc., etc. I am happy that you have, just like it happened in South Africa, that you had white people from different religious and political persuasions that stood up against apartheid as a system and everywhere else. So it will be a great responsibility on your side to ensure that you are being seen to be standing for justice and not being seen to be against a particular religion or against a particular ethnic group, etc., etc. But that's the clarification I thought I must provide to Honorable McPherson. Again, Honorable McPherson, the host of issues that they have brought to us also mean that when in our responses ultimately, we have to indicate that there are issues that belong to the executive, things that belong to parliament, and some generally belong to civil society. But I think that would come at the end. So, Chair, I was requesting that the Chair continues in that way.
Clarity from Honorable Masango. Are you saying that today this petition could be changed with new developments? Is that what you are saying? Because my understanding is this petition was signed and it says the signatures were submitted and this is on behalf of a coalition. Now, to my knowledge, is you can't amend this today. We are discussing this. If there's a further amendment, that must come separately with those signatures. So I'm just seeking clarity from what your response is. I don't think that this can be amended today.
Right.
We're discussing this document. Should they wish to have further amendments, that must be presented in a separate
right.
petition signed again by who?
Right.
Thank you.
Honorable Kadebi, as the whip of the Committee on International Relations and Cooperation.
Thank you, Chairperson. On the issue of the memorandum, on the issue of the petition, we have to stick to what we're having here, because we don't want to risk a situation whereby the exercise will be in futility at the end of the day. I think that as the record of Parliament goes, is that we have to deal with these issues which are here, and then but it does not stop us from enriching the discussions. But what we can report back to the Speaker is what is here on the land, but we can have further discussions to enrich or to give more further background around that. That's around that.
That is simply addressing that issue quite separately. All right? Now, we'll still, what we need to do, it would be preferable, the chairman of the International Relations and Cooperation has advised me as co-chair, is to get all of the clarifications in now. So let me take the rest of those hands, and that is the Honorable Pumwana. Is that right?
Yes.
And then the Honorable Raputi.
Yes.
Honorable Raputi. Honorable Mantashe. Honorable Williams. Honorable McHugh. Thank you. You'll come in last, will you, Honorable Khudebe? Or Honorable Mandla? Mandela? Mandela? Right. Let's try that. You know how it works. Thank you.
Thank you. I just want to take an opportunity on this question of first to comment on what Honorable Khadebe and Honorable Khaled has talked about. They have asked questions on the things that they have, what is not directly there, but related. And I'm sure two members, Honorable Mukhalava or McPherson has asked a question. McLaren or Mukhalava
have asked. Turn your head back.
No, what I'm saying is that Honorable Mukhalava has asked questions on something related to what is here. And when you say that there must be, everything must be written down, it means they should not answer him. And when that gentleman was talking about, it's going to be very, very difficult to say, don't answer. You must only answer what is written. If it's not written, then you don't answer. It means they must re-ask their questions. Anyway, let me take my time to ask my questions.
Thank you very much. We will, that's part of your time, Honorable.
You will reduce that. Thank you very much. So, I just wanted to first make a comment and then ask three questions. One is comment is that I just want to comment and say you are correct in the question of the use of sanctions. We use sanctions. And Margaret Thatcher, I remember saying that it is going to hurt the South African Africans if you move sanctions. And we said no. In fact, it hurts us more that the regime is not, the sanctions are not applied. And one of the major weapons of that we that defeated apartheid was sanctions, by economic sanctions. And I agree with you. And I also agree with you that the violence that is used against whatever, however violence can be used against Israel, cannot be compared to the violence of a gun. A gun and a stone are two different things. Thank you. And what I wanted to ask you, two questions, three questions. Do you know any soldiers that are serving in the Israeli Defense or Offensive Force? Can you supply? Secondly, can you assist with the committee with a list of business people doing business or have links with the business, doing business with the Zionist state? Third question, have you or you or any state, or even the UN Security Council, referred any members of the government of Israel to the ICC? And if so, how far is that reference? I will leave the other questions. Thank you.
There we are, done within your time limit. Thank you. Right, Honorable Raputi.
Yeah. Thank you very much for the presentation, and thank you very much, Tata Madiba Junior, for receiving this petition on behalf of Parliament. And I really agree what our icon Tata Madiba said. Our freedom is incomplete without the freedom of the Palestine. I think even us, we are still
if some other people still really trying to prevent, trying to advocate what Israel is doing to Palestine, it's a big, big, big question mark. So reading this petition, I got some goosebumps. I read it, I analyzed it, and it's very scary. And I'm still going to say, even ever we are in Africa, the ANC, the ruling party, we are not yet free if Palestine is not free. So, Chairperson, everyone in this room, we must just hold hands and ensure that we get freedom. Long walk to freedom. I thank you.
Well, we welcome such a succinct input.
Thank you.
Right. Can we then move to the next person who's on the floor? And if I'm not mistaken, my list here says yourself, Honourable Mantosh.
No, thank you, Chairperson. In appreciating the presentation from the coalition, I just want to allay fears of the EFF that the ANC government is not in a position to can assist them out of their plight. If he reads, he would remember that the president in his January 8th statement in Rustenburg, he, as he was giving marching orders for the country for this current year, he said, our ministers must desist from visiting Israel. And that we think that if all those people or formations, all those formations,
even during when you were speaking, Honourable Paulson, to refrain from interruptions. We're running out of time.
As the ANC chairperson, we would like to request all formations that are in South Africa that are said to be supporting Palestinians to put aside their differences and continue to work together for unity. And we also are like to ask Palestinians themselves to form one block and speak with one voice, so that their plight can be resolved. Because if they identify themselves according to their religion, it will be problematic and we will not be able to assist them. We have resolutions in the African National Congress where we've been recommitting ourselves that we will support their struggle and that it does not end in this boardroom. Someone is talking about our allies who are on the ground. Our alliance partners are on the ground already with the BDS campaign. And as the African National Congress, we will support that campaign because sanctions were posed to the countries that were oppressing us so that we could be free. I think we should apply the same tactics to Israel. Thank you, Chairperson. And we are unapologetic about that.
Another brief input. Thank you, Honourable Williams, followed by the Honourable Colonel. And then the Honourable McHugh and Honourable Khadebe. Honourable Mandela and then Khadebe.
Thank you, Chairperson. The only people that can really resolve this situation are the Palestinians and the Israelis. And I think we must all realize that, and we can't just jump in and do what we think is best for them, because that would just be a nightmare. But as South Africans, I think we can do a great deal to assist this process. Now, the question about anti-Semitic, is this not anti-Semitic in character? And I think that the answer to that is the problem here is the Israeli foreign policy. This includes the illegal occupation of Palestinian land and also up to the point and including threats against the BDS movement, individuals that are activists. And as South Africa, we should strongly condemn this. We shouldn't allow for a foreign country to come into our country and undermine our own constitution that allows people to associate with whomever they want. And we shouldn't allow Israel to do anything of that nature in this country, and strongly condemn that action if it were to take place. We must also, in this debate, not forget about the actual Palestinian people that are being killed in their droves and are being displaced by the Israeli foreign policy. As we speak, villages are being removed from Palestine and occupied by Israeli forces to then put illegal occupants into those places. And we mustn't take the human element out of this discussion, because if we do that, we might as well then start talking about tractors and not about the thousands of children and women that have been murdered by the Israeli foreign policy. Chairperson, I would like to propose that we accept the parts of this petition that we as Parliament can do, for instance, the debate in the House, and then put some pressure onto the executive to implement the other parts of this petition. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Williams. Honourable Colonel.
Thank you very much, Chairpersons. I would like to support the Honourable Williams on that Parliament should do what Parliament can do. I think that is a starting point. The unfortunate position is that the petition is 2 years old, and we must all accept that circumstances have changed internationally and also in Israel and Palestine, and I think we should recognize that. We also should recognize that South Africa is involved with an international lobby group and that they are trying to move towards a negotiated settlement. We know it's difficult, but there are efforts. And they are working according to a set agreed of principles, and it will be impossible for South Africa just to try to do it and go it alone. That will not work. So I support the Durco position, and I support our envoys that are deployed to do their job, and I wish them all the best. But let's raise the temperature in Parliament. Let's debate it. Let's highlight it. We can never, ever close our eyes what is happening in Palestine. It's wrong, and we must remind our people all the time.
Thank you very much. The Honourable Chairman of the Select Committee on Trade and Industry and International Relations, Honourable McHugh.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I want the delegation to know that we appreciate very much the broadness of the coalition, that you are not only representing a particular faction or interest grouping in South Africa, but the broadest sector of the religious community in particular, which we welcome. Also, the points that have been emphasized by Mr. Desai that you'd want us to take action on, and want to particularly speak to those also against the background, Chairperson, that in my position I have been able to engage as well with the Palestinian ambassador and also with friends in Palestine that are expressing their position very much like it has been presented to us in the petition and in the presentation to this House. It's important, Chair, that we may have to remind ourselves that this is about the Palestinian people and the occupation of Palestinian land by the Israelis. That's what the matter is. It's not about the Israelis. It's about the Palestinians and the injustices that they are experiencing at the hand of the Israeli Defense Force and other members within the Israeli community. It's painful, Chair, when you hear about how children in that part of our world has absolutely no future. How many Christian families are relocating, particularly to the United States, because they cannot live in that environment. And this is the country that we all think that when Jesus comes again, he will come back to that land that is so plagued. Chair, I also want to secondly say that the point on international solidarity is an important one, and want to urge you as chairpersons to look at the request on celebrating the 29th of November in this parliament. I will be prepared to work with you on ensuring that we also raise that through the appropriate channels in the National Council of Provinces. Chair, the South African history is one where I know, as a young man during the 60s and the 70s, how angry I was and how I wanted to resort to violence, how the religious community helped me, how sanctions helped me. So don't come and talk to me about sanctions don't work. Here is a example of how sanctions has helped me in my personal life and many other Christian young people in the Uniting Reformed Church in this country through the South African Council of Churches to be able to find ways because of the stance that was fearlessly taken by people like the Archbishop Desmond Tutu on boycott, divestments and sanctions. It works. That's why I'm able to sit in this position that I am today. I'll just make the last point, Chair, to say that we are struggling with water in this country. What is not mentioned in the petition directly is how the water sources of the Palestinian people are being cut off. How in that country where there's a scarcity of water, the aquifers are being rerouted so that it benefits one part of the people of that country. We are very supportive, I can tell you, in the conversations that I've had with political leadership there, that they are also supportive of the two-state solution. And we should, as South Africans, use the moral space that we have to enhance that particular effort to bring true peace to the people. I'm grateful, Chair, that we have been brought this far because of the petition. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable McHugh. Right. Honourable Mandela, who also is, if I understand, the whip of minerals.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I would like to welcome the delegation and the National Coalition for Palestine. Also, I must attest to the Reverend that this was the most colorful march that we have ever seen in post-apartheid era. I participated in it and received the petition on behalf of Parliament. I would at this point, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, beg for your indulgence because this is a topic that is very close to my heart. In his historic speech in solidarity with the Palestinians on the 4th of December 1997, His Excellency President Nelson Rolihlahla Mandela declared, "We know too well our freedom is incomplete without the freedom of the Palestinians." And I want to ask honorable members, how long will we remain incomplete? We mobilized the global anti-apartheid movement to liberate South Africa. We have an obligation to do likewise against Israeli apartheid. Time for talking for me, Honorable Chair, is really over. 2 decades of talking Palestinian solidarity needs to move into firm and decisive action. This petition has been sitting for 2 years without it being processed. And I would like you to note, Honorable Chair, that Madiba, upon his release, it only took him 16 days after his 27 years of incarceration to imprisonment by the apartheid state to meet with the then leader of the PLO, Yasser Arafat. And he described the Palestinian struggle as one against a unique form of colonialism. Madiba was very clear in his characterization of Israel. I quote, he said, "If one has to refer to any of the parties as a terrorist state, one might refer to the Israeli government because they are the people who are slaughtering defenseless and innocent Arabs in the occupied territories, and we don't regard that as acceptable," close quote. It is
time, Honorable Chair, to reciprocate the Palestinian struggle, the PLO and Qaeda Yasser Arafat in particular, were a source of inspiration and encouragement to us all as South Africans during our struggle for liberation. To Madiba and the political prisoners incarcerated on Robben Island, we had drawn courage and strength from their support so generously, given even though they themselves had left freedom. We must implement the resolution of the 53rd General Council campaign calling for the support to boycott and the divestment campaign and the recall of the South African ambassador to Israel and to send back the Israeli ambassador. We must mobilize, Honorable Chair, the world in calling for the return of illegal occupied Palestinians, as Kader Dalla Omar so clearly put it, and I quote, "It is vital to understand that the central issue in the Middle East conflict was that of Israeli occupation of Palestinian land," close quote. In the first, I beg for your indulgence again, Chair, but I will try and be as quick as I can in my comments on this matter. The first African Nobel Peace Prize laureate and the late president of the ANC, Chief Albert Luthuli, when he opened the 42nd annual conference of the ANC in 1953, said the following: "Our interest in freedom is not confined to ourselves only. We are interested in the liberation of all oppressed people in the whole of Africa and in the world as a whole. Our active interest in the extension of freedom to all people denied it makes us allies ourselves with freedom forces in the world," close quote. You want me to stop, Honorable Chair?
We would like you to draw to a conclusion.
I would, Honorable Chair, to try and say that our government since 1994 has consistently supported the Palestinian cause whilst increasing, putting pressure on Israel towards a just and lasting solution on a number of levels, including multilateral institutions such as the UN, economic travel ban, operational and tactical support through capacity building to the Palestinian and intergovernmental cultural exchange programs, international aid, and the development projects in the West Bank and Gaza. These efforts must be intensified in order to resolve this greatest moral issue of our lifetime. But Honorable Chair, I want it understood that this is not a Muslim-Jewish issue. It is a gross violation of human rights. And through you, Chairperson, I want to call on all of us as members of Parliament and South Africans to recommit ourselves to the struggle and the liberation of the Palestinian people. I thank you.
Thank you very much. Just so that all members are aware, our first importer comment took 6 minutes. So I took the liberty of extending it to that. Thank you, Honorable Mandela. Honorable Khadebi, the Whip of International Relations and Cooperation.
Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, I really appreciate the delegates of the coalition who are here today. Your work is immeasurable. I hope that you continue doing what you're doing. Because what is good is that you are having across all the civil society organizations, that you are all one. It is not a type of a lobby group type of a situation. So you are really appreciated with what you are doing. But what I'm going to do, Chair, I'm going to just go straight to the petitioner's steps. When you look at the issue of 1.1, the issue of the debate with the flight of the Palestinian people, I think that these joint committees which are here can agree on that. We can have that debate. But the issue that's like here is going to be the issue of the 29th of November. Our parliamentary program is very full.
its effect is very, very full because what was the end? Ne? But in making this thing an annual event, there's no problem about that. I think that issue of Balfour Declaration can also be profiled because as it's going to be the centenary, it can, the preparation can be started as early as now, so that we climax it towards that end, towards next year. I think that one can be done. On the issue of condemning the attacks and killing of innocent people, I think everyone, you know, across this room agree that the loss of one life is one life too many. These things must be condemned. The loss of life must be condemned. That the people who are doing this killing must be brought to justice. I think that's what does the campaign which must campaign for. Which must not only be here in South Africa but internationally. That those soldiers who are killing innocent children, those people who are burning Palestinian children in their houses, must be brought to justice. I think that's what we can agree across that. On the issue of 1.5, really, the issue of foreign military assistance, there's already an act here in South Africa around that. But the issue is, if we know people who are committing those, do we bring them forward? I think that what we must have, we must coordinate a mechanism whereby if you identify the people who have done that, we have to bring them forward so that they go to justice, so that they can face justice. Because rhetoric is not going to work. No. The issue here is that we must act decisively. Because it's very unfair that a South African citizen can go and engage in a war which is not being declared. But actually, it's unconstitutional. Because the only person who can declare a war on behalf of South Africa is the President of the Republic. So there is no South African to be expected to go into any other war. So those people must be exposed for what they are. But if the civil society is not alert, if you don't report the crime to the police, it's not going to be charged. But because this one is sensitive, I think that you can have a double dose. Bring it to Parliament here so that you know that this person, between this time and this time, was there, and then it will be dealt with accordingly. And then on the issue of 1.2, 1.3, 1.4, as the chairperson of IRS said, certain things are the preserve of the executive. There's a clear separation of power within the Constitution of the Republic. There are certain, just like, for example, this issue will be the issue of the foreign policy. There's only the head of the foreign policy in the country is the president, no one else. With upon the Department of DERCO implements that on behalf of the president. So that one is the preserve of the executive. But in our own small ways, we can influence that. You know? But I think that we must be able to direct where this thing is supposed to go to. And then on the issue of 1.6 again, it is still part of the executive. When you go to 1.7, develop a policy to create capacity of South African diamonds, you can agree with that one because it's part of beneficiation, it's part of the policy of our government and of this parliament that the mineral resources of the republic must be beneficiated here in the republic. Actually, we have an agreement with Botswana, where we have a school, an exchange school, whereby we are training our local people, our young land dwellers, to go and deal with that. But what is critical then is that we must escalate it so that the civil society is aware of such programs. And then 1.8, the issue of to raise the contribution of international treaties, really, the parliament can do that. Because at the CPA, International Parliamentary Union, at the CPA, the parliament can have its own delegation. Those issues must be raised. I think that's why as we debate, when we put these things on a debate, we must capture that in the next CPA land conference, what are the agenda items which must be there? Those are the things which can be done. But as I said, the others which I flagged out can only be done by the executive, but we can only influence on the sidelines, not directly. Because, as I said, there's a separation of power on the other side. And then the issue, again, of assassinations, I think that one is also serious. Né? We cannot agree with the situation whereby the South Africans are going to be under threat from a foreign government. Also, if there's any information around that, I think that it must be reported immediately so that if any of you is feeling under threat, whatever way it is, it must be reported as of yesterday so that we deal with that. But what is also critical here is that this is the struggle of the Palestinian people. Those are the people who must put at the center. That's why one question which I would ask myself, this petition as it stands here, now I'm speaking to the people, what did you contact the people of Palestine about this petition? Because during our struggle, ourselves, as the African National Congress, we will not have agreed on a situation whereby other people will speak on our behalf without us. That's why we always mandated them. Good upon. So the issue again, how to engage with the Palestinians on the ground there at Gaza and West Bank. Good upon. I'll be really interested in that aspect. Number two, on the issue of this government is already doing, on the issue of the occupied territories, already there are regulations in trading industry where the goods which are coming from the occupied territories are already being labeled so that we are able to identify that. As we're speaking now, the former Premier of Gauteng, Comrade Thoko Sekgwale, was there in Palestine dealing with the issue of Israel Football Association, whereby he's using his influence in FIFA to ensure that there is sport boycott against the Israel Football Association. So those are the fora which we must use. But the other aspect which I'll raise on our side, our struggle was not easy too, because we had to network with the unions and all over the world. That's why when certain goods came from South Africa, we knew that Margaret Thatcher would not have agreed on the sanction. But the unions, the dock workers, when the any goods were labeled from South Africa, the workers there would not touch them.
Right.
Would not touch them, they'll rot in the port. So the issue here is that we must deepen the work with our unions here so that we engage them thoroughly so that they can be part of this campaign. But at the end of the day, as I said, this is a struggle of the Palestinian people. They must be supported. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Khadebe. Now, members, honourable members, and, of course, members of the National Coalition for Palestine, we have certainly made inputs, comments, raised questions. And we would like you, not in one-liners, but to try and address it as effectively as you can. So no, we don't want to give you 5 minutes. We would certainly like you, I mean it's now 10 to 12, we would like to give you until 20 past 12 to address this, please. Thank you. So I turn to you, Father Harrison, as you started with the input. Thank you. Begin. Over to you, Father Harrison.
Thank you, Chairperson, and also thank you to all of you for your input. I must confess, I was sitting here and listening to all your input and making notes, and I'm encouraged, I think, by what I'm hearing here from these parliamentary committees. So thank you so much. There's certain questions that have been asked that are very directly raised to myself, and then there are some general questions that I will start to address, and then I ask my colleagues to just continue with that. Perhaps to just speak in general first, those of us who were part of the anti-apartheid struggle, we experience this particular conversation and discussion as a kind of a deja vu almost, in a way. And Honorable Mpumlana, who has already left now, started alluded to that in some way. Because our framework is one of seeking justice. Our framework is one of seeking liberation. Our framework is that one of seeking a just peace. That's the framework from which we operate. So when members ask questions about trade and you know, what opportunities are being missed and those kind of things, we hear the voices coming back at us from 30 years ago, really,
we hear those voices that said, sanctions will affect black people more. We hear those voices again. We hear all the excuses from a Margaret Thatcher and a Helmut Kohl and a Ronald Reagan. We hear all of that. At the same time, I've been in the fortunate position to meet with members of the U.S. Congress who worked on a comprehensive sanctions bill against apartheid South Africa. They told me how the whole process worked. And they told me about how they planned that if Reagan was going to veto the bill, what they would do and how they did that. So that's the framework. I must say this, that's the framework, the reference point from which we come. And so, for example, Chairperson, you also ask about whether what we do is anti-Semitic and so on. That's not the framework from which we operate. We are people who have struggled for non-racialism. We understand racism. So something like, and I think our comrades from the Jewish, South African Jews for Free Palestine must talk about this much better than I can. But how the work, the intervention that we do, the work that we do is in order to attain freedom and justice. And not only for some people, but for all people. We South Africans know better than most people about this. Freedom wasn't only for black people, it was also for white people. Freedom wasn't only for the oppressed, also for the oppressor. That's a language that is common to us already. That's a language we know. And I would really urge that we dig deep into the language that we already know, that we dig deep into that. I'm sure there were others who did not operate within this framework, and I think we must be clear that when there were these calls for sanctions, disinvestment, boycotts against South Africa, there were South Africans, white and black, who were saying no to BDS against apartheid South Africa. So we are aware of that, and I don't think we are under any illusions about that. That's the reality. And I think it's important that we do debate and discuss. As I was, again, listening here, I was saying to myself, perhaps we should have a full workshop, maybe a whole day workshop or something, on some of these issues. Because I do believe that we, South Africans, I mean, we need to really, really dig deep into our own history and give the people of that particular region hope. But from a particular South African perspective, which is from the framework of liberation. So that's just a broad comment I want to make, and I really appeal to all members that we do that, that we dig deep into that. So let me come to some specific questions that were asked. My brother over here asked about solutions. And I must say that in the coalition we have many, many debates. You can imagine sometimes the debates goes on for hours and hours. Our task as the National Coalition for Palestine is to allow the space for everyone to give their perspective. So within the coalition, there'd be people who would be very strong pro-two-state. Within the coalition, there'd be people who would argue that actually two-state solution is dead. There's no point in that conversation. And our task is really to hold all of this together. That's the nature of this coalition. It's not a coalition that necessarily say these are the things that we will or the kind of details that we will stand for. We will say that we stand for justice for the people of Palestine. We will say various things like that, but we will not say we are pro one state, pro two state, pro three state, pro seven state, whatever. All these solutions have been presented to us, but we will allow for that conversation to happen. At the end of the day, we want the best possible solution for that area. But as someone has already said, it must come from the people of Palestine and Israel themselves.
They are the ones who must, at the end of the day, we must be there. Now, to talk about neutrality, as someone has spoken here, is again not part of our language. Bishop Tutu is quoted as saying, if an elephant stands on the tail of a mouse, and you are neutral, the mouse will not really appreciate that very much. The language of neutrality is not our language. Our language is the language of justice. That's our language. Our language is the language of solidarity. That's our language, not the language of neutrality. So we will have to be very clear that we are not neutral in this. And so coming from the position of non-neutrality means that we will actively seek solutions. And one of the members here, Honorable McCoo, made clear that it is about those who are struggling. It's about the suffering people. It is about, and in this particular instance, the majority of suffering people are the people of Palestine, those who are both in the geographical areas that we have described, but also Palestinians in Lebanon, in Syria, Palestinians across the world. So it's about the National Coalition for Palestine is about our solidarity for their struggle. So we are not going to be neutral about this. So when you ask for solution, I suppose we can debate things, but we have to stick to the principle of that the people there must resolve it themselves. And you asked about the just peace. The reason why we've added the word just before the word peace is because I've already explained that the peace process is really, I mean, you know, I don't want to preach, but in the biblical text, there's a lot of texts about peace when there is no peace, a false peace. We are seeing that happening. It's interesting that the Oxford Dictionary has recently said the word post-truth is the word of the year. We live in that kind of world where people use certain words that actually mean the opposite. That's not what we want to do. We want people to be clear that it's about a just peace that we are talking about. I think I'm going to leave it there for the moment. There was the comment made about did we contact the people of Palestine in writing, in drafting this petition? How do we engage with them and so on? I must tell you, honourable members, that it's a thing we do on a daily basis. Actually, it's not something that you know. We listen to the voices of the Palestinian people almost every single day. I'm in touch with, particularly with Christians of Palestine, of course, and my emails are coming through every single day. And from time to time, I speak to them directly. From time to time, they visit us. From time to time, we visit them. Muhammad made the point about the World Council of Churches program, EAPPI. We send people. Many people have been turned back. There's one person here in Cape Town, Reverend Malcolm Damon, who works for the Economic Justice Network. He went as part of a World Reform Church delegation, and he was simply not allowed to go in. His visit was not to Israel. His visit was to Bethlehem in Palestine. But he was not allowed into the country even. And we can mention many names. One of our people, she was interrogated for 11 hours at the Israeli border post. 11 hours. And then our ambassador in Jordan fortunately fetched her in the middle of the night and then hosted her there because she wasn't allowed in. And I can tell many stories like that. It's happening all the time that Israel is stopping church people on official church business from entering into Israel. You cannot travel to Palestine or to the West Bank without going by Israel. That's just the reality. So I think I'm going to stop there for the moment. I might come back on one or two things, Chairperson, but I'm going to ask Mohammed to continue.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mohammed.
Honorable. Thanks. Um,
The issue of some people sounding like Thatcher and Reagan has already been dealt with. So as to the false argument that black people will suffer due to sanctions being imposed against apartheid South Africa, those sort of sentiments have been dealt with. But it should be reiterated that the official position of the Palestinian Authority, and members of parliament, we can't go and speak to an individual off the street or go meet one official and say that so-and-so has told me, please don't boycott me. Please don't impose sanctions. We need to, in all fairness, if we are to take this issue serious, we must firstly listen to the broadest coalitions on the ground. So, for example, under apartheid, we responded to the call of the UDF. There were some parties, yeah. And in this case, we have to then take serious the 2005 call by the largest, broadest, most representative grouping of Palestinian civil society and political organizations across the political spectrum that have called for boycott, divestment, and sanctions. On the other hand, we must also take
being heard now. Please just come straight across here. We haven't got time to wait. Okay, there we are.
So the first is a call by the largest coalition. Mm-hmm. And members of parliament, even McPherson, you must agree that public representation, civil society does have a voice. But the second is we must also take seriously those progressive Jewish Israelis who are calling for boycott, divestment, and sanctions. We must take them serious just as how we took Bayez Nodi, Joe Slovo, and others from within the white community. But thirdly, we must take seriously the official position of the Palestinian Authority, of the Embassy of Palestine in this country, that has called for a full and complete boycott of the Israeli settlement. That is the marching orders in diplomatic terms that has reached us from the ruling party in Palestine, from the Palestinian Authority, and from the Embassy of Palestine. A full and complete boycott of the settlement. And even those political parties that may not be in solidarity with the Palestinian people, we're not, and I must emphasize, when it comes to the boycott of the settlement, we're not asking you for a political position, because we're asking you to simply be in line with international law. You were asked, are we not being biased in this situation? Well, we are currently being biased by sending the message to Israel that its settlements are okay, that we will trade within the occupied Palestinian territory. So we are already being biased towards the oppressor. And it's time for us to take a neutral position when it comes to international law in the least. So even if full and complete sanctions are not on the table right now, at least the boycott of the settlement must be agreed to. The fabrication that was received from one member of parliament at the back regarding SodaStream, the SodaStream workers, after this propaganda piece that was released by the company, the very workers, and I can quote from the article, the very workers were very surprised to have heard that they are suffering because of the boycott. The first clarification from the SodaStream workers themselves, and it's on the interwebs, you can Google it, from the workers itself, said that we are calling for boycott, even in the short term. If there's going to be a negative, in the long term, it's going to mean our liberation. But I quote the worker from SodaStream, who said, open quotation mark, I feel humiliated and I'm also disgraced, as the claims are all lies. We Palestinian workers in this SodaStream factory have always felt as if we have been enslaved. Close quotation mark. So I'm really glad that the issue of SodaStream has been raised, but in all fairness, we must be honest in this house, and we must be honest about the workers and the bottom of this issue. Honorable Dudley has raised the issue of Israel offering expertise, especially recently to African countries. Now, some of us may remember and may recall that B.J. Foster, who came after Farhut, had, in terms of foreign policy, had an outward-looking policy of dialogue and center. And his agenda was to try to bribe and was try to buy off certain frontline states on the African continent, in particular Lesotho, Malawi, Mozambique were targeted, and Swaziland, of course, through loans. And believe it or not, just as how the Israeli ambassador is going around offering water expertise, so too did Foster's government offer water expertise and agricultural assistance. But I think we must congratulate our government for having firstly signed an MOU, in water technology with Iran. Secondly, the municipality of Eteguini just yesterday announcing an MOU on water desalination with Japan. It's on the one hand a very clear message to the Israelis that your little gimmicks of coming and offering so-called expertise won't be tolerated. And secondly, it also sends a clear message, MP Dudley, that we don't need to take this assistance from oppressors. We can go to other countries where it's easily and readily available. The Israeli ambassador at one of the most pathetic times went on TV with a penis, sorry, not a penis, circumcision device, saying that Israel can assist us with circumcision. This device, he didn't add, was easily and readily available from various BRICS countries at that time. And so the argument that Israel can assist us is absolutely false, and we will not suffer. There are various other alternatives across the globe that can assist. We fully support, as the Reverend has indicated, that Palestinians and Israelis must insist on their solution. It would be arrogant for us to impose a solution, just as how it was arrogant of others to say what must happen in South Africa. But what we do need to assist with, just as how it was in the 80s, is to bring the apartheid government to the negotiating table, to bring the Israelis to the negotiating table. And so those from the other side that have talked about dialogue, join us in bringing the Israelis to the dialogue table. We should clarify that the fact-finding mission that we are talking about needs to go to the Gaza Strip. And if it doesn't include the Gaza Strip, no such mission should take place. It's like as if the Sharpeville massacre took place, and then we accept a trip, and we are not allowed into Sharpeville. This would be a hearsay. And likewise, we are saying that a fact-finding mission, and let us be very clear, as civil society, we are saying a fact-finding mission to the Palestinian Gaza Strip. That is what we are saying as an obligatory mechanism. And we would love for such a mission to be under the auspices of the World Council of Churches, in what some people have been insisting on, a neutral body.
Completed your input? Hello?
Yes.
Have you completed? Perhaps you could pass on the mic.
The last is that we'd like to, whilst we are squabbling or disagreeing on certain issues, it seems as if there is consensus on some issues that have been raised. And that is that nobody has objected to the UN International Day of Solidarity being marked within this parliament on an annual basis. There seems to be no squabbling on the issue of a fact-finding mission to the Gaza Strip. And there seems to be no hesitancy in saying that South African government policy must be the cornerstone. And so for all parties then, we're inviting you to join us in condemning Israel's illegal settlements, which DERCO holds as a cornerstone in terms of its engagement on this issue.
Thank you. Let us refrain from talking or describing this engagement as a squabble, when actually it happens to be the differences of opinion that are being held and expressed by different political parties. Let us respect that. And this mic is now going to... It is now going to... Yes?
Okay. Serena King again from the South African Jews for Free Palestine.
I think this might be working, yes. So the obvious question that I need to address is that of anti-Semitism. And to criticize Israel is not anti-Semitic, and I think that Israel too often conflates the two. I am very definitely Jewish, and I very definitely condemn Israel, and Israel is becoming more and more emboldened, taking over more and more land, more and more illegal settlements, and requires outside pressure to actually curtail their activities. And we have actually an international group of Jewish organizations called SEDEC that are meeting this year again. We are definitely not anti-Semitic, but we are very against Israel's policies. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. King.
Yeah, this seems to be working for now. Look, I would like to respond to very, very briefly. I think there are certain members of this honorable committee, honorable members, who I think have tried to divert from the real issue, which is why I withdrew, to be honest with you, Chair, because I wouldn't have the debate around Palestine reduced to myself as an individual. As much as I would say it's not my place to tell members of parliament not to wear pink, not to wear pink.
This is Mr. Harnacle, isn't it?
Yes.
Right.
As much as I would say it's not my place in parliament to tell members not to wear pink or not to wear orange or not to wear what they want to wear, I would briefly want to say that as a member of civil society, as an activist, I deliberately put this on. I didn't put my suit on. I'm an activist. If I go to a traditional wedding, I'll wear one outfit. If I wear, go to the European or church ceremony, I'll wear my suit. If I'm a member of parliament, I might wear a suit. If I'm a worker at parliament or an activist or a protester, I will wear my outfit. And if the Democratic Alliance is offended by that, I would strongly recommend they go speak to Loiso from Ses Corner on that issue, to just get clarity within the party.
You see, Chairperson, on a point of order,
just a minute.
No,
Honourable MacPherson, Honourable MacPherson, you know, you have a colleague here, Honourable MacPherson, you have a colleague here. What did she do? She actually raised a hand, the Honourable Cullion. So please, let us not turn this into a marketplace.
Can I
thank you. No, I was recognising Honourable Kalyan, who seemed to be doing this. Right.
I reiterate, madam, that if you're a guest in somebody's house, you respect the rules of that house. The rules of decorum in this house requires you to be properly attired. If that's the choice, I mean, we've had in the past members who've come in shorts and they have been asked to leave. You know what I'm talking about. So we respect the decorum of the house. Secondly, to impugn the dignity of a member in committee is unparliamentary. Again, when you come to a person's house, you obey the rules of the house. I submit to you that that particular guest is being provocative. We're talking about justice, we're talking about, you know, the rule of law, and I submit that the Reverend should actually call him to order and say, we came here as guests, let's behave with decorum as guests. Yes, Honourable Mandela?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I think let us be respectful. The Honourable Members had their say. And it was an honourable member that talked about our guest, Mr. Anacom's attire. It's quite concerning that the very same honourable members will never say anything about the attire and the address of EFF in the House. So let us not reduce this session to a dress code manner. We have had our opportunity, and Honorable Paulson will agree to that. They are wearing their own attires. Look at Honorable Kenya. Honorable Kenya is wearing her beautiful traditional attire, and members that come into this institution are most welcome to dress as they wish. Thank you.
Allowing the Honorable Khadebe to close this off. I do need to close this off, Honorable Khadebe, and that's where it closes.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, whatever point of order which is used must be based on a particular rule. And the issue of the dress code has been thrown out, even the new rules that we're having. Nah. So I think let's put it at rest at that level, please.
I'm not going to take another hand because we have got 20 minutes left. We have got 5 minutes. 5 minutes for the National Coalition for Palestine to close off. Yes, Mr. Harnacott.
Thank you, Chair. No, I apologize once more for falling into that trap where people who don't want to speak, yes, because as a member of civil society, it appears, if I'm correct in our democratic process, people are elected on a ballot next to a political party, and it appears only one party in this house, a party which, in my opinion, as a member of civil society...
I'd like you to stop right there, and address this issue of the petition.
Okay, thank you, Chair. No, Chairperson, the issue at hand seems that the overwhelming majority of members in this House, subtract some individuals, have a common...
Allow you to proceed, Father Harrison. Ask him to address the substance.
Okay, Chair. May I withdraw? I withdraw. Thank you very much. Chairperson, on the issue of NC4P as a broad coalition, the National Coalition of Palestine also has the PAC. The National Coalition... Chair, I don't know if I'm allowed to be insulted by members. That's fine, but... Okay, thanks, Chair. The National Coalition for Palestine does have a broad civil society inclusion, including COSATU, the trade unions, and various organizations. But we do respect that there are other organizations who chose not to participate in the NC4P but still support the solidarity of Palestine. And we fully respect that. My input, Chairperson, is also a concern around certain organizations. It would be strange for me if the apartheid ambassador came to you as a parliament in another country and said, please speak to the Dutch Reformed Church. It would be concerning for me because it would indicate that they seem to see one part of a religious formation or one sect or group to represent their agenda. Likewise, as a white person in South Africa, please don't tell me that the Afroforum or any other predominantly white organization which might have an image speaks on my behalf. I think that there's diversity, and I think that that's a concern, and it speaks back to the issue of anti-Semitism. We encourage Parliament to engage other organizations as well, outside of the Jewish Board of Deputies and other Israeli governments. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thanks, Mr. Harnacom, Mr. Ali, because he needs to just finish, and our chair, the Chairperson of International Chairman, Relations and Cooperation, needs to close. So please, Mr. Ali.
Thank you. I will be very brief. The broad coalition is definitely anti-Zionist and not anti-Semitic. In our coalition, as we are represented here today, we wish to project prior to 1948 45, with the establishment of the Israeli state. The Zionist apartheid Israeli state was built on the basis of stealing the land of the Palestinians. The continuous journey of this Zionist apartheid Israeli state to steal the land of the Palestinians and setting up settlements is directly in violation of their own understanding of a two-state solution. In actual fact, they are perhaps not even interested in a two-state solution. Thirdly, we cannot deal with the victim and the perpetrator in the very same way. In the South African context, we had a white minority that were the perpetrator, and everybody else were the victim. And so this house should be able to approach the Palestinian-Israel conflict in the very same light, that there is a perpetrator and there is a victim. With this, the last point I wish to make is the dismantlement of the settlements that we are calling upon. And the parliamentarians has, or this particular committee has given indication for the 29th of November, Your Excellency, that your agenda may be very full. However, we would want to impress with the broad process that you stand for the liberation and the freedom of the Palestinians and for justice, that time should be allocated starting this year. And we would appreciate that. I thank you.
Thank you very much. Will you close off, Father Harrison?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And thank you to all the members of the committees who are here. And thank you for your questions. In fact, a lot of them is good food for thought.
Ken, will you just switch off the mic? And Mr. Harnacle.
We take note of all the questions that you have raised, and we will continue to engage. It's important to say that the work continues. It has been happening quite significantly, and we will take up your offer of supplying you with information about South Africans who become members of the IDF without permission from our government here. Some of that have been given to the National Prosecuting Authority. So we'll ask that you follow up on that. We have lawyers who are dealing with those matters at the moment. So we will pick up the offers that have been presented by yourselves and come to you with specific details on all of that. So thank you very much again on behalf of the National Coalition for Palestine. Thank you for addressing our petition. Thank you for hearing what we have said, what are the doables. There are, as my colleague Mohamed Desai has said, there are several things that all of you agree on. And I think if we can move forward with those things and the other things, we can continue to engage on as soon as possible. I really want to say, on behalf of all the members of the NCPP, thank you, and we will report back to them about this petition.
Thank you, Father Harrison. And now we do need to allow the chair. You know, unfortunately, Honourable Dudley, it is now 25 past or 28 minutes past. No, you see, the hands will just go up. So I'm appealing to you, Honourable Dudley, to come after the chair has made an input. Yeah, but let the chair come in and respond, and I will take your hand. The chairman of International Relations and Cooperation, Honourable. The chair is indicated to me. The chairman has indicated to me. He is trying to offer and put together as the chairman a way forward. Please, let us allow him to do that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Fabs. There are just a few things that I will speak to now, and some of them will constitute a way forward. But some of them are just an explanation of why certain questions were put to you. From here, pursuant to the letter that was written to our committee, which also indicated the other committees that have come here, we're going to write back to the speaker. One of the things is that there must be a debate in the House. Now, whether the debate will happen next week, as you suggest, but that it must happen annually and the date that you have given. So we have to report back to the speaker because the head and the face of parliament is, in fact, the speaker of parliament. The second one, which is a clarification, and I think I'm going to deal with one or two or three, is that you must not be surprised about what you have seen in the committee here. It is perfectly in the nature of things that when you submit a petition to Parliament or even to a municipality, and Parliament or municipality has different political parties, and parties hold different views on certain matters, members of the parties may say, well, as Parliament, this is where we stand. But they may also want to say, but where does my party stand on this matter? So that quite often, in all parliaments, plays itself out. However, I noted both from the members of parliament and yourselves that there are lofty principles enshrined in our constitution and in our Bill of Rights for which we are known as South Africa. That when it comes to justice, when it comes to human rights, when it comes to the right to self-determination of a people, the right to their religion, the right to their language, and all of the other things, these are sacrosanct matters. And this is what has always put South Africa at the center of many other mediation processes. And what you have so correctly captured, that because we emerge from a situation of oppression, where for the world it was unthinkable that those who oppressed and the oppressors would not live together. But thanks to the fact that not all blacks fought against oppression and not all whites were oppressors. One of the examples we've mentioned was that there were white people who joined the anti-conscription campaign and they became conscientious objectors to serving in Namibia and everywhere else. Now that assisted a lot for us to arrive where we are. So when you say these are solutions you can give to the world, it's good. The second one, and I know it made you uncomfortable, perhaps it may have, this thing about anti-Semitism. It is because last week on Thursday, the ambassador of Israel to South Africa requested to meet me, to give me a letter, and gave me a letter, and expressed his concern that we were going to meet with you. And we clarified that, yes, we're going to meet with you. Just like we meet with any other persons or groupings that come to Parliament. But again, on Friday, we are going to meet the South African Jewish Board. They may ask us, why did we meet you? Or you may feel uncomfortable. Why are we going to meet them? You, as the NC4P, we're going to meet them, we're going to hear them, whether they are going to raise the issue about you or their own issue, but we're going to hear them.
Now, you see, and I'm making an example, that when was it last year or early this year, Hamas visited South Africa and went to Luthuli House. The Jewish board that we met with the chief whip actually raised this as a concern. But look, man, the Hamas is advocating for the destruction of the state of Israel. And you are meeting with them. What is your take on this? We clarified. Again, this issue of meeting people who don't necessarily agree with each other was made by the chief whip in the chief whip's office. But I'm just saying it is in the nature of the belligerents in different countries to want South Africa or to want Parliament to take their side or to see things the way they see them and see them only in that way. Now, it will not always happen. It will not always happen. So the issue about anti-Semitism, which was raised by the South African Jewish Board last year when Hamas actually came here, has been properly explained by your good selves. As if you were there when we were actually explained to them that the struggle for the people of Palestine must be the same struggle for the people of Israel, the statehood of Palestine and the statehood of Israel. This thing called a two-state solution must live together. So anyone who then comes and calls it anti-Semitism or calls whatever will not agree with them. To the extent that we're talking to the things that have been raised both here and have been raised by our government. Now, the last one was the fact-finding mission. We will make this recommendation to the letter that we're going to write to the speaker, that there is a request that, I don't know whether it's going to be multi-party or it's going to be the IR committee, whatever, but there's a recommendation that there must be a fact-finding mission to the Gaza Strip so that either before the debate or after the debate or whenever people make statements in the House for ministerial responses or motions without notice, they are better informed by material conditions as they obtain in the Gaza Strip. Now, the issue of the two-state solution for now remains the official position of the South African government. And what it means is what the United Nations is saying, that we must respect the right of Israel to exist as a state and the right of Palestine to exist as a state. What is, however, a conundrum for the UN are the settlements, are the 500,000 settlements that Israel has already made into the West Bank, particularly East Jerusalem. I mean, East Jerusalem, to which claim is being laid by Palestine, their future headquarters. Now, that is a bit of a conundrum, and I'm aware of the statement that the UN has issued to say, but this thing should not be happening while there are negotiations happening. Because you see what it means. If by the time you have a full statehood of Palestine and Israel, there might be no physical territory for the other. Now, but that is a matter for engagement by different parties there. The other matter I wanted to talk about was the mediation process. What government told us both last year and early this year was that it will not, or it thinks, that is the executive, it thinks it will not impose sanctions on Israel for now because it is involved in a mediation process in terms of which two special envoys were appointed to represent the president. So the issue of the sanctions, I'm saying what they told us. I'm not a member of the executive. That's what they told us. The second one was the withdrawal of the South African ambassador to Israel and or the expulsion of the ambassador of Israel in South Africa. Again, when we engaged DERCO about this matter, they said they don't want to do that because it will not have an impact if South Africa and South Africa alone does such a thing unless it is coordinated with other countries. In the same way that they were talking about sanctions, they were saying unless it is coordinated with other countries. Now, if you want further clarity, want further explanations, want further engagement about the correctness or otherwise of this particular position, I would advise that you can meet either the ministers as a cluster who are dealing with this, the minister of IR, but in this instance, it's a grouping of ministers. You say government or you say executive, but there are issues about people training in Israel, that's defense. You have people who are trading there, that's trading industry. You have people, ambassador, that's minister of international relations. So you may need to meet those and so that they clarify to you as government. I'm just explaining what was explained to us, but we are parliament. So I was saying that there is a mediation process. Now, the mediation process is two-legged. It is that the mediators, Dr. Zola Skweya and former Deputy Minister Pahat, must engage different groupings among the Palestinians so that they put together their minimum demands, so to speak. And that makes me go back to the Freedom Charter. And perhaps I may need just a minute around that. You see, after Malan took over 1948, they said they've got a solution for South Africa, which was going to be separate development, ultimately known as the Africans as apartheid. But the ANC and others, and the PAC and other political parties, had not come together to put their minimum demands for their perspective of South Africa until it happened 1955 with the Freedom Charter. So in other words, the people of Palestine, the different parties, the PLO, the Hamas, and everyone else, ultimately must say, this is what we want for the people of Palestine to put to the UN, to put to everyone else. And then on the other, they are also engaging the Israeli government, because some of the statements of the Israeli government, including the settlements, are very unhelpful. I read, for instance, an article where Prime Minister...
Honourable members, let us respect the chairman.
Where he was saying as long as he's Prime Minister, the state of Palestine will not exist. Now, I'm just saying, the mediators have those kind of difficulties, both among the groupings, among the Palestinians, and also from the point of view of the government of Israel. Now, with that, we will then write the report to the speaker, and we want to thank you. As the chair, also the co-chair also indicated, we want to thank you for your understanding that after 2 years we've been able to address the issues that are in the memorandum. Those that can be done in Parliament will be done, but we can only make recommendations about the debate, about the fact-finding machine, etc., etc. Then, those that can be done at the level of government, I will indicate to the speaker that the following issues actually belong to the government, and you better take them up with the leader of government business, because the leader of government business here, the person who links the executive and parliament, is the deputy president. So she will take them up with them. And with that,
I want to say thank you to you, Chairperson.
Yes.
Thank you for that input. What I'm very happy about is that you raised the issue of our constitution and our constitutional principles that stands for certain things. In other words, in listening to you, I would give precedence to the constitution and not to the idea of equal weight to views, so that we are clear that we stand for human rights, for justice, for those things. So even if, as I understand, you have to meet with different people, I understand that completely. I think I just want to have the principle clarified that we do not give equal weight, because we don't give equal weight to justice and injustice. We give more weight to justice than to injustice, more weight to human rights than to lack of human rights. That's the only little comment I want to make in response to what you have just said. I accept completely that's the way Parliament works, that's the way you have to do. I just ask that the constitutional principles that we have adopted, that be always in front of everything that we do. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now, I think I would like to thank the honourable members, constructive views that have been expressed, different views, some views guided by either personal perspectives and or party perspectives that we either agree with or don't agree with. But we thank you very much, honourable members, for being able to come to this meeting and making the inputs that you have made. The meeting is adjourned. I was not told whether they will be relaxed.